let's get right to the callers who are lining up at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Roger and Tonopah, first on the line. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Yes, I have a rainbow eucalyptus I planted. Probably it was as tall as me when I planted it 6 years ago, and it's about 30 feet tall and 6 or 7 inches in diameter at the base. Now, it's in a place where it gets an awful lot of water, and I've got a clump. I wouldn't say clumps, but it's portions of the tree that are turning brown, like they're dying or something. Is that normal for a rainbow eucalyptus? I don't know what they're actually supposed to look like.
Well, I'll tell you, Roger, this summer we saw lots of things turn brown that don't normally turn brown. You know, trees that have been pretty summer hardy and heat tolerant over the years that did not fare well with, I forget how many, it was almost 60 days of 110 degree weather when we normally get 15 or 20. The problem with those days is that means the low for that day was, you know, in the mid to upper 80s. So the plants don't ever have a chance to recover. So my suspicion is that, you know, eucalyptus are not a native tree to here. They're, you know, they're Australian natives, and Australia has lots of different climatic zones, just like Arizona does. And I don't know what a rainbow eucalyptus is used to or able to tolerate, but my guess is it's just summer heat stress that showed up, and it doesn't matter sometimes how much you water something. If it is not genetically designed to tolerate those kind of temperatures, it's not going to. So that'd just be, without seeing it, without knowing any more about it, I'm not that familiar with rainbow, quote-unquote, eucalyptus, but a lot of trees that normally do okay here in the summer and other types of vegetation have not fared well. So that'd just be my guess.
So is there anything action-wise he needs to do, or just give it a year to recover?
Well, I would probably continue to water it properly, fertilizing it, you know, certainly. Probably going to have to do some trimming and remove some of the dead tissue if it's not showing any signs of sprouting any new growth from those areas. The easiest way to tell is just go to those limbs and kind of give them a little twist and see if they are brittle. If they snap and they're brittle, they're dead. There's no reason to leave them on there. You might as well remove them now that we're into cooler weather. And just, you know, hope that we never, ever, ever, ever repeat that summer type of summer again.
You know what's great about trimming?
How about the whole 2020?
Well, yeah.
Let's just not repeat any of 2020.
That'd be a good order.
I'm sorry, Gary.
I was going to say, you know what's great about trimming eucalyptus trees? It's like someone opened up barrels of Vicks Vapor Rub. The radio station I worked at had trees all around the parking lot. One morning I came in, they were being trimmed. I just sat out there and went...
Yeah, God, and then good. Run them through the chipper and have all those.
Even better.
Yeah.
Mulch.
Yeah.
My pecan trees, you know, they say you're really not getting a good harvest until seven to 10 years, and I'm right at that. Uh-huh. So I didn't have much expectation, you know, still for a couple more years. But for the last 3 years, every year, we've had some amount of pecans growing. I don't have a single pecan tree growing on any of the four trees.
Sure. Well, it doesn't shock me. Yeah. So one of the things they'll do is slough fruit because that takes a lot of moisture out of the plant. So plants have, you know, their way of self-defense, and certainly losing fruit, not allowing it to continue to develop, will be one of the things they'll do. Or the pollen, it was too hot for the pollen to be viable. There's a lot of reasons why it wouldn't have, but yeah, it doesn't shock me.
The citrus have done fairly well. That has surprised me. I thought I wouldn't get as good of a harvest.
I'm surprised we're not getting calls about splitting fruit, you know, and those calls that we normally get when we have those kind of temperatures. But
The splitting fruit's just a lack of water.
Well, or just so much intense sunshine, it just burns the edge of the fruit or the skin. And then when it starts to size up late in the summer and going into the fall, when they put their last burst of sizing or growth on, that skin has lost its ability to stretch, and it's just a spot of sunburn. And, you know, we didn't have very many cloudy days, very much humidity. So I would have suspected we'd have had more calls and maybe just nobody wants to talk on the phone. I don't know, but I got to believe there's a lot of that. But you're right. My citrus trees actually fared pretty well. Of course, my water bill fared well, too. My contest with Rosie on cutting water, I didn't even threw that out the window this summer.
Well, you mentioned phone. It is funny how much times have changed. I remember people used to sit on hold 40, 50 minutes. Wouldn't be uncommon as
right.
we took our time to get through calls. We started that break with three callers on the line, and the other two hung up before we even got to them.
They're like, we'll just text. We'll just email it.
We'll just text the email later. So if you'd like to jump on the line, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. When the auto attendant answers, just hit 1 to bypass the message. Text can be sent to 411-923 or email at info@rosieonthehouse.com.
I have a question from one of the callers that did not hang on. So they have oleanders all along the perimeter of the property, and right embedded in that hedge of trees is their gas line. So they've had them blue staked. They want to have them completely removed. Rosie, so
I'd have APS on standby.
Yeah, that's more than just pulling trees. That's a big job.
It's a mix between Agent Orange, nuclear explosions, backhoes, and a fire.
What would be your recommended course of action?
Oh, get Southwest Gas out, kill the line.
Yeah, Blue Stake isn't. Yeah. If it's running in there, they're going to tear it up in multiple places because the only way to really get rid of them is get a back, cut them down short, and then get the backhoe out there and start at one end and, start excavating them out. And even if you wanted to do it yourself and the old redneck way with a chain and a pickup and pop them out, you're still going to pull the gas line out.
Well, this gal was willing to spend the money to have somebody. She was just double checking who would she hire.
A good grading and tractor, probably a more of a grading and tractor.
But start with Southwest Gas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just get the line turned off.
Okay.
See how old I've been. I called it APS. APS used to have to be the gas. Southwest Gas. Yeah. Somebody to come in. They don't have to have any skill, but the ability to haul all that material away and cut them down to, a foot or two above the ground because, you might as well get rid of that first. So.
And then thinking through that, so you've got all the trees removed, you've turned the gas off, APS is there, or SRP is there, and you pull them out, and then who's going to repair that? Who repairs that line?
Well, you'd have a plumber would then have to come replace that line.
If they tore it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it might be an opportunity to relocate that line, because if you've lived with an oleander hedge there, with the privacy it provides, and you're not putting up a block wall, what would be an alternative plant to consider?
Well, sour orange would be the first thing I'd consider.
Okay.
I think they make a lovely hedge. They're pretty fast growing. They don't get near as wide and intrusive as oleander does. It's pretty heat tolerant and pretty cold tolerant. A lot of people would use ficus. My only fear with ficus is the cold. We've certainly forgotten, as many ficus as I see being sold right now, we've forgotten what happens when they get cold. But sour orange would be a great alternative if you didn't want something that would get quite as big. They certainly get plenty tall enough for privacy. So.
And when you mentioned the chain and truck trick, I always include this. I don't know who it was. I wish we had captured his name, but it was a farmer in Rainbow Valley. We were talking about ripping plants out with a truck and a chain. And he said, I've done this every time and it works beautifully. You need an extra rim. Get another wheel, not with a tire on it. Because if you've got a rim, it'll stand up by itself.
Okay.
You know how hard you can't get a tire to stand up by itself.
Right.
With the rubber on it. So you get that extra rim and you roll it right up as close to the chain as you can get it after you've already tied it to that. Root ball it is,
uh-huh.
Then roll that wheel up as close and put the chain over the top of it and then hook it up to your truck. So now when you start rolling with your truck, instead of the root ball getting dragged through the dirt, it's getting pulled straight
up. Pulls it up.
And it pops it up, and it works beautifully.
Interesting.
They've redone the arena where we board our horses, and that's how they got them out. So little old guy pulled them right out.
Yeah, it makes the job 10 times easier, and it's a lot less hard on your truck. You can search and see plenty of examples of people flooring it.
Oh, pulling their bumper off. Yeah, pulling the rear differential out.
One of them is even a quad that flips over backwards. Oh, like, oh.
Quad, yeah.
Like, well, it was like a roll cage. So yeah, more like a sand rail. And it's okay. Like, how much damage did they just cause to that machine?
Oh, boy.
Floor it, Cletus.
You gotta add the wheel. That's huge. Now, the Red Push Pistache comes up a lot. Uh-huh. We were talking about the ficus and a good replacement for that. And there was even a time when we were talking trees, we had three arborists in, and somebody was asking for a specific tree, and all three of them independently recommended the Red Push specifically
as part of their
for...
list. I can't believe it wouldn't be on in everybody's list as a recommended tree. Now, if this is more of a screening hedge type thing, I don't know that it would be a great choice for that. But as far as a hardy tree, even those, as bad as this summer was, I don't think I've seen any of those really suffer.
Well, and I've got four on the west side of our arena to shade the boxes. And they are slow growing, and I think that's the one thing everyone says. They are slow growing.
Slower, so although I wouldn't say if with the right care, and they're not as slow as people try to make them out to be.
Well, if you want to see a great example of how beautiful those trees can be, at the Holiday Inn in Wilcox, we were there for a rodeo 2 weekends ago.
Okay.
They've got 6 beautiful, huge Red Push Pistachios trees. So if you're out in that area and you want to see just what those trees can be.
And there's a testament to how tough it is. Wilcox is 4,500 feet, 4,000 foot elevation.
And
it gets cold and windy there. So they take extreme heat and extreme cold very well.
I don't think there was a time the wind was less than 20 miles an hour, and you'd step out sometimes to go do your run, and the sand would be blowing so bad you'd have to get goggles on just to go get down the arena.
Yeah, I believe it.
It was bad, but I stopped everyone in the family. I'm like, look, this is what the trees behind our boxes are going to be one day. And they're like, when, Dad? I'm like, well, I can't tell you when, this is what we planted.
There's a
trust
little
me, they'll get there.
Strip office development on McKellips Road at about Stapley that was built right in 07 or 08, right as things just fell apart. And that place, that little development got landscaped and then abandoned. Water was turned off. I mean, it was shuttered and the water was turned off. Nobody ever moved in, no tenants, and everything in that landscape died except the Red Push Pistache.
Interesting.
Even the date palms. The date palms died. I think there's a few Palo Verdes there that made it, but those things lived through that for several years without any water.
And there's a few. I noticed 67th Avenue this week, north of the 101, has a number of Red Push. They've got oaks and Red Push. If you want to know the difference, oaks generally, you know, my standard for the oak was the Harper's Nursery at Scottsdale. It was a lot bigger than the Red Push, but in this setting where they're in the gravel and a hardscape, the Red Push are the ones that are bigger than the oaks. And then the new Northern Parkway, half of the trees along that are the Red Push. The other half are mesquite, so it's real easy to tell the difference. But that tree is really changing landscaping
yes,
in Arizona.